Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. I am your host, Bravo and Botox, here to bring you all the Bravo tea from the last week. All right, before we get started, please rate, please leave a five-star rating if you enjoy this podcast. It really helps the podcast, you know, in the algorithms and all that. And please, you know, if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a kind review. I would love that, especially on Apple Podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can also follow me on all social medias. Well, actually not TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but on Instagram or Twitter/X at Bravo and Botox. Come join me over on Twitter. I'm tweeting a lot more. And you know, I've got those good tweets I'm retweeting. If you have an account, you know. And I tweet throughout the episodes, or at least I try to. I've been doing it a lot more lately. You can also join my Patreon. $5 a month will get you 4 extra podcasts a month. I put out a new Patreon episode every Thursday, and we have a great time over there. This week I had a lot to say about that Pump Rules mid-season trailer, a lot to say about that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part 3, the Kathy of it all, you know, Mauricio with his little clips from Buying Beverly Hills, talking about Hilton and Highland, and just whew, a lot going on. All right, so let's get into the news today, everyone. It is Friday, March 15th, 2024. We're going to start with Vanderpump Rules because there's, you know, a lot going on this show and there's stuff going on off too. So on Rachel's podcast, she said that Tom would push boundaries around her and Ariana. So basically she said that if she was hanging out with the three of them, you know, Tom would be flirting heavily with Rachel in front of her and Ariana and that it was uncomfortable, awkward, and, you know, he would act though like it was normal, and including massaging her feet in front of Ariana. So that was the example that she gave. She also said Ariana didn't say anything, but looking back, she's sure Ariana was uncomfortable, but probably just didn't want to say anything. Listen, is this groundbreaking Bravo news? Me, not really. But why am I bringing it up? Because it completely contradicts, once again, Rachel's lawsuit that she has, where in the lawsuit, it doesn't contradict the revenge porn stuff, but what it does contradict is in the lawsuit, she goes on about how everyone knew about her and Tom. And Ariana not only knew, but, you know, didn't care and was like, save it for the season. Like it was going to be a storyline. So which is it, Rachel? Because it's not making any sense here. It's not making any sense at all, right? Listen, the more these details come out and the more Rachel talks, the more I think that Rachel never even saw that lawsuit and that it was completely written by her lawyer and, you know, maybe Bethany standing above her lawyer, because there are so many contradictions. And then here she is. Who's letting her just come out and say this? Does she want to win the case? Okay. So, I mean, I guess that part doesn't really have to do with the revenge porn, so it wouldn't matter. But it just invalidates her and her credibility. So why wouldn't your lawyer advise you not to do that? Okay. So meanwhile, on Lala's podcast, because everybody's got a podcast. I mean, I'm not saying that as an insult because I have a podcast. I just mean that a lot of the Vanderpump people do. So, you know, we get a lot of tea from them off the show. So Lala said that she was defending Sheena. Okay. So she went on her podcast to defend Sheena after this week, because obviously Sheena's getting Eaten Alive by viewers and basically said that Sheena was upset because she was finding out about Ariana's life from fans and on social media. And then Lala and her co-host, like, you know, so that's how she found out about Dancing with the Stars, I guess, or other things. Although she found out about Dancing with the Stars from Dan. We saw her say that on the last episode, but I guess other opportunities Ariana was getting. But I mean, a lot of Ariana's other opportunities were like commercials and product placements and stuff like that. Like, do you have to call Sheena about every single one of those? I don't know. Okay. Also, if Dan told Sheena, sorry, now I'm getting off track, but if Dan told Sheena about Dancing with the Stars, like, wouldn't that just mean that, like, she was having lunch with Dan without Ariana there, so maybe Ariana was busy. Like, maybe she just hadn't had a chance yet. I don't know. I gotta take everything Sheena says with a grain of salt these days. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So Lala and her co-host go on to say that they understand Sheena being jealous and also happy for her. And they say that, you know, you can both be happy for someone and also be a little jealous that you didn't get that opportunity. Yeah, we all know that. That's not the issue. Everybody knows that. The issue is that every single time Sheena brings up Dancing with the Stars, she also brings up herself. Like, it'd be one thing if she only said that once, but then also had other moments of just talking about how happy she is, but she actually hasn't. Anytime she's talking about Ariana's opportunities, she's mentioning how she wanted that, or she's crying about how hard this all is for her. So the context matters, Lala. The other thing is, again, I could, even with all that, I could still be sort of convinced of that if she hadn't said the backup dancer thing. The backup dancer thing is what has sent this all over the edge. If she hadn't said that, she would somewhat have an argument, but no, you've ruined it. You know, when Lala says she doesn't like how Sheena can never win with the audience. Yeah, so go talk to your girl Sheena, because Sheena's why Sheena can't win with the audience. It's not us, Lala. Okay? So Jax. So we know that the Valley spinoff is going to be, I believe it's coming next week after Vanderpump Rules. So Jax and some of the Valley cast were on the after show. By the way, I have a recap coming this week of the after show, episode 7, and it's going to be good. So Jax comes after Katie. So I'm not going to talk about like a ton of stuff from the after show on here because I'm going to do a whole episode for it. But I am going to talk about this one because Jax was pretty mad about Katie spreading those rumors about him and Brittany, even though I don't think Katie was really spreading them. It sounds like those rumors were spreading themselves. And to be fair, Katie is not like, yes, I guess Katie, fine. She brought it onto the camera, whatever. But Lala and Sheena like fully co-sign it. And he doesn't say anything about them. They're just saying. Katie's always like the scapegoat for these men, I swear to God. And then Katie went on social media and she commented saying that, I guess there's a rumor, the rumor that Jax refers to in the after show interview, Katie says that wasn't even the rumor that she was talking about, but okay. I can't even believe that Jax, I mean, I don't know when this after show with Jax was recorded, but I can't even believe this man. I mean, I can because he's Jax, but I can't believe he has like the audacity to even be upset at anyone about that when his wife has literally moved out and is doing like TMZ interviews about how she's lost trust in him. Okay. Now Ariana was on Watch What Happens Live recently with John Oliver. Great episode if you didn't watch, and says that she was really hurt by a lot of what Sheena's confessionals were saying, what Sheena was saying in confessionals, and that, you know, she didn't know about all these like feelings and this attitude, and that she was, that Sheena had, and that she's just hurt by her general attitude towards her, which that's exactly what I would say. Like, it's not even like, yes, there are particular things she said, like the backup dancer thing, but there is just a general vibe, you know, like there's like just an air of just jealousy, envy, saltiness. Like, it's just, and even take those things away of like, these people are only pretend happy for me. It's just very obvious. Okay. You know, and she says, I still love Sheena, you know, but she's hurt, right? Ariana says, you know, also part of the whole thing with Tom lending Sheena money, like, she was part of that. Like, she's like, I was aware of that and I supported that idea, right? Like, at that time, Ariana and Tom's finances would have been intertwined heavily, right? So, I don't know. It's just, since Tom literally sent it, I guess he gets the credit, right? I'm sure on his list of things that Ariana, that $90,000 to pay him back, it's probably half of what he gave Sheena is on that list. Just saying. Okay, we also have, you know, oh yes, sorry, one more thing from that. Ariana also says that she's team Brittany in the split between Brittany and Jax, and that if Brittany wants to move to New York and needs a place to stay, she can stay with Ariana. And Ariana says she did know that they were having issues, but, like, you know, doesn't give a ton of details about it, as makes sense. So we also have Sheena versus Nick Viall. This has been going on. Like, I talked about this on one of my other news episodes because, you know, like, Nick Viall just always comes after Sheena. And listen, do I agree with everything Nick Viall says? No. Do I think he's kind of annoying? Yes. However, listen, he's right about Sheena. Sheena makes everything about herself. The whole internet saying that. So whatever. Anyway, so Sheena said in Instagram comments to one of his episodes, she's like, what would Nick talk about? Or how would he stay relevant if he didn't have me to talk about, or something like that? So the feud continues. I'm sure there will be more updates as time goes on. Okay. Rachel also confirmed that, again, on her podcast, that she did speak to LVP. So that was not a lie that LVP told on the episode. She says that LVP was not concerned about Graham in her perspective during the conversation. But again, I take everything Rachel says with a grain of salt because, you know, she has shown herself to lie in her own benefit. But that being said, I don't care if Lisa called her and didn't seem that concerned about Graham. Yeah, maybe she wasn't because she already found him a new home. So what's the big concern? Okay. And that the phone call was more about Rachel coming back to the show and, you know, what it would look like and how they would have like a one-on-one conversation and a sit down, like her and LVP. And, you know, yes, she did say that Sandoval said lying is a way of life. Now that I believe. Okay. And yes, I do get to pick and choose what I believe from Rachel. I do. That's it. Okay. If something just sounds so authentic to someone's voice and the way in which they speak, lying is a way of life. That is so, like, only Sandoval would say that. It's not just like, is that a Sandoval thing to say? That's like, that could be his bumper sticker. Like, that is just so him. I know he said that. And Rachel would not have been able to even come up with that. I'm sorry. It's too specific. So, you know, she also said that she said to LVP, like, this man said lying is a way of life. He's manipulative. She said, despite that, LVP encouraged her to come on and, you know, say that and tell her story about Tom. And she's like, she kind of made it out like LVP was trying to encourage her to, like, give Tom another chance, but then sort of gave up on that. And then, you know, I guess realized that that wasn't going to happen. So then was like, okay, then if you think he's a piece of crap, come on and tell everyone he's a piece of crap, right? And tell them that he said lying is a way of life or whatever. So she was like, you know, LVP's mindset was really production, storyline, etc. Okay. I don't think that's like such a bombshell. I feel like Rachel thinks that whenever she tells us something about, you know, oh, this was done for the show or this is produced, or that we're all going to be like shocked and appalled and angry. But no, Rachel, we know how this works. I'm sorry that maybe you didn't, right? Or that you think that the audience are all morons who don't know these things. We know that LVP is an executive producer of Vanderpump Rules. We know she wants drama, and we know that she doesn't really give a shit about any of you. I guess maybe the Toms, because they own 2.5 or 5% of her restaurant. And she unfortunately named it after them. Okay. So we got to talk about Sheena on Dancing with the Stars, and not her annoying comments on the show, but just this funny news story that came up. So it has been floating around, and it is true that actually Sheena, you know, her dreams of Dancing with the Stars are even more delusional than one may have thought, because it turns out that she was actually banned from Dancing with the Stars. This was a while ago, but it was lifted. And this was in an article from November 3rd, 2023 in Us Weekly. Basically, Sheena said she was terrified to go back and she was blacklisted from Dancing with the Stars because she brought a weed pen in with her and got in trouble for it. She revealed this on her podcast, by the way. Apparently, once you cross the gates of CBS, it's federal property, and she brought drugs onto that property. She said at the time she had her medical card, but they didn't care. They took her ID and they said, don't ever come back. So she never tried to go back because she was too scared until the season that Ariana was on. And then she was let in. So the ban was lifted, I guess. So it's just, so obviously a lot of people were pointing out kind of how funny that is, because, you know, she's wanting to get on it and waiting for them to call her. Waiting for them to call me while she's banned from CBS. I mean, listen, I get it. We live in the real world. Nothing's black and white like that. It doesn't mean that she couldn't get back on and talk to them about the ban and get it lifted or whatever. Clearly, she was able to do that just to be in the audience. But, you know, it is kind of funny. It's just a little like ironic. Okay, we got to talk about the reality reckoning. I don't know. We need a new name for it, though, because it is just the opposite of a reckoning. So Leah McSweeney's lawyers say that there are more lawsuits coming. Why don't you guys work on the lawsuit that you already put out? Because it's not going well, and I don't think you're winning. So maybe before that, like before putting out more, let's get one that works. I'm just saying. Now, Andy has also demanded a retraction for the cocaine statements. This is what he said, or this is what his lawyer said. We demand that you immediately retract and withdraw allegations relating to Mr. Cohen's purported cocaine use. To be clear, these allegations are categorically false. Mr. Cohen never used cocaine with any cast member on any Real Housewives show or with any other Bravo employee. Okay, Andy. I mean, listen, I'm still on his side, if I'm being honest. The absence of any reasonable bias to make such allegations is confirmed by your pleading itself. The truth matters. The truth matters. Litigation cannot be used to create fake news, and it cannot be used as a vehicle to spread false and malicious lies in furtherance of a shakedown. We demand that you issue an immediate public retraction and apologize to Mr. Cohen. Every day you fail to do so only increases the damages suffered by Mr. Cohen. All right, there you have it. I mean, listen, like he's got more of a case, because she made a claim about the cocaine that really didn't have that much bearing on her actual lawsuit. And then on top of that, you have no evidence. All you have is hearsay. And at this point, we have like over 20 housewives who've come out and said the opposite. So we've got one versus like 20, and more will come, I'm sure. So it's like, why? I don't, like, you've got to have some proof. Like, you can't just say anything. So meanwhile, speaking of another housewife speaking up, Vicky Gunvalson has also stepped up to defend Andy and says, I don't know much other than, because they asked her about Leah, and she was like, I don't know who that is. I don't know much other than she is suing Andy, which is crazy to me. Why is she waiting now for everybody else and bringing our bosses down? I guess she means, like, why did she wait this long if she had a case, right? Or maybe why did she wait until after, like, Brandy did it? Maybe something like that. Vicky also called the lawsuit dirty, and she thinks Leah is just trying to get deep pockets from it. Well, I mean, yes, so do all of us. Again, do I think Andy has done cocaine with people who also enjoy doing it? Some who work for Bravo, some who don't? Yes, I do. I think this is a huge deal and it's going to like rock the Bravo world. No, I don't. So Rachel addresses why. So in other reality reckoning news, Rachel addressed on her podcast why she is sending her lawsuit, or why she did send her lawsuit to Ariana and Tom. And this is what she says. So I'm going to read the quote. "Obviously, you guys know the lawsuit is not about me sending a video. This video was recorded. It was a FaceTime video that I did not know was being recorded. And I wasn't aware that this video existed until it was sent to me. So that is what the lawsuit is about. And I would think that Lisa knows that by now." So that's in reference to Lisa Vanderpump being stopped and asked by TMZ, and she was acting like she didn't know, which was dumb. It's important to bring this up This isn't a criminal lawsuit. It's just a civil case, but my privacy was violated in a very intimate and unsuspecting way, and it is embarrassing and not something that I am proud of at all. Okay. So again, I don't think anyone has a problem with her filing this lawsuit against Tom. You know, people are more annoyed at the Ariana aspect of it. Now, the TMZ thing. So TMZ has come out and has said that they have sources that have seen the video of Rachel and can even describe what she was wearing in the video, I guess. And that it was, but again, so those people have seen it. So it's not, they didn't say that they've seen it, but they have sources who've seen it. The timing of this is very weird. I'm sorry, I have to point this out. I'm not saying that this video doesn't exist. It exists. I'm not saying that it wasn't shown to more people than it should have been, right? Ariana should have never seen it. Tom should have never recorded it. I don't know if anyone else, if Ariana ever showed it to anyone, described it to anyone. I don't know. I don't think that she would send it around to people. Do I think she would maybe describe it to her close friends while she's getting pissed off and telling them what happened? Yeah. I don't think she would like send it out in a group chat to a bunch of people. I just don't. However, you never know. You never know, right? But the timing of this is so weird because like this, it's been like a year, right? And all of a sudden, and even when the lawsuit first dropped, TMZ did not mention that they have these sources who have seen the video. And now all of a sudden, they have these sources who've seen the video and can describe down to what she's wearing. So are the sources maybe from Rachel's camp? Like, again, I'm not trying to victim blame because, you know, she is the victim in this situation. She is, right? And I think Tom should be prosecuted to the furthest extent of the law because he did this and it's wrong and it's against the law, right? However, it is weird that all of a sudden TMZ has seen it. It's just weird timing. Now, it could be, so it just, we have to acknowledge that it could be, you know, a PR move to kind of make it seem more likely that Ariana sent this around and spread it around or that it got leaked or whatever. Okay. The convenient timing is a lot here. Okay. Let's talk about Beverly Hills because there is some Beverly Hills news. So first of all, allegedly there is a portion of Anna Marie's story that was edited out and basically she was protected by producers, allegedly. Okay, so Entertainment Tonight journalist Michelle Turner said that there was a conversation that was cut out basically to make Anna Marie look better. So she says, so in the clip, she says it had to do with Candace Owens. And it seems like, you know, there were some like anti-trans tweets that Anna Marie had. So maybe something along those lines or her support for Candace Owens got brought up. And I guess maybe the producers decided she was going to be getting crucified enough with the whole esophagus thing. I don't know. But it does seem like they really want her for another season on Beverly Hills. Like, just the way that Andy's like, everyone should give her another chance and all this stuff. It's like, I don't know. I could see this being true. I do get the impression that they were like, okay, we found someone, you know, we think she brings good drama and, you know, she's like willing to get messy. So, you know, and maybe we do want to get into her personal stuff eventually after she's on the show for like a year or two, you know, because usually with the first year, they give them a little bit of like honeymoon phase when they're new. And then the second year, it's like crucify. So I'm just wondering if that's why they want her to get a second year. So maybe they left that out, knowing that if they left it in, they would have no excuse to give her a second year. I don't know. That's my Bravo conspiracy theory. On another note, apparently Mauricio's moving out. So according to a source, so we all saw the finale, spoiler alert if you didn't. But on the reunion part three, there was like the little, what's it called? Like title card or what, I don't know what it's called at the end, where they said that Mauricio and Kyle are still living in the same house for now. Okay. But, you know, according to a source, Mauricio believes Kyle and Morgan are more than friends. Well, who is that source? That could be anybody, because everyone thinks that. And then allegedly there's audio. So Mauricio was in Aspen recently, and allegedly there's audio where Mauricio is heard saying that he is packing up and leaving. So I guess somebody recorded it with their phone or whatever. So, I mean, do we care about this? Is this that big of a deal? Nah. It's like, Kyle could have had such a good storyline and scandal, you know, if she had just told us all this, like, straight up throughout the season. But instead, she's, like, letting all these, like, leaks and media, like, tell the story for her, and it's all, like, too little, too late, and it's like, yeah, okay, like, I don't know, no one even cares. Okay, so there's also been this buying Beverly Hills clip floating around, where Mauricio basically explains what happened and why he left Hilton and Highland. Now, Paris Hilton has weighed in on this, and she made a comment on social media, which says, "My father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already." Woo! Okay. I love it. I love mess. I mean, listen, do I think that Mauricio said anything that was that groundbreaking in his little clip? No. Do I think that the Hilton family just all hate Mauricio and always have because, you know, he left their company, according to Kathy Hilton, at the reunion? You know, he announced he was leaving Friday on a Thursday, didn't give them a lot of notice. They were salty about it. Maybe he took a few clients. They were salty about that. Yeah. And, you know, I can see both sides of this. I can see why they were annoyed about the way in which he left. And I could see that he was annoyed that he wasn't maybe getting the promotion that he felt he deserved. I don't think there's like an evil bad guy on either side. I talk about this more on my Patreon this week, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. But it's like there's not necessarily anyone who's evil. But I just kind of think it's funny because you can just tell the Hiltons cannot stand this guy. I think it's a combo of that, the business stuff, and they probably all know that he's been cheating on Kyle this whole time. And I think that they blame him probably for a lot of like the strife in their family. I could see that. It's like now that Kyle's done with him, it's like, it seems like she's so much closer to Kathy and Paris. And yeah, I'm just saying. Okay. So in a recent interview, Sutton Strack has revealed that her and Kyle are working on their friendship. I don't know. I'm a little like, Like, I don't know what's going on with them. Like, I kind of like how they have this frenemies thing going on the show. But it was like the way they made up at the reunion part three, it was a little too quick. Right? Like, it was a little, I don't know. It was like they were like, at each other's throat, and then all of a sudden they're like, no, we're good. I was like, okay, seems like you've been fighting for like 6 months and now all of a sudden you're like, yeah, it's fine. So I'm like, are you guys, was that all an act? Like, I don't know, it's weird. Grant, listen, I'm always down for a frenemies thing, right? Like LVP and Kyle kind of had that going on. at the beginning of Beverly Hills. And then they were more just like actual friends until Kyle fully turned. But, you know, like Giselle and Karen have that and it works. And I do think it works with Sutton and Kyle. Right. So I remain hopeful that they'll get into it again. So, yeah, I guess maybe it's a good idea. So Andy revealed on his podcast as well that he's not upset about Mauricio sharing things about him and Kyle's marriage or, you know, about the Hyland and Hilton controversy, because he says at the end of the day, it's his show. And, you know, he can talk about what he wants, because a lot of people have been asking, like, oh, is this pissing off Andy? I mean, Kyle is the one who's on Beverly Hills. Like, yes, I guess Mauricio is kind of on it. Like, he's on it. Don't get me wrong. But the Netflix show is different. Buying Beverly Hills, like, that is his show. But Andy did mention at the end that he goes, oh, don't worry, though. Because this was like the day before the Beverly Hills reunion. He goes, don't worry, on the Beverly Hills reunion, we have Kathy come out and we talk about the Hilton and Hyland controversy. So you don't have to wait for that Netflix show to get your answer. So I liked that. I felt like it was a little bit of shade. I thought that was funny. When asked if she is going to be coming back next season, Kyle Richard was asked on a red carpet recently, and she said it'll be a last minute decision whether she comes back for the next season. Kyle always says that. She says that every year. She always says it'll be a last minute decision. She's coming back. I feel like if she wasn't, it would have made an announcement. And I think she just likes to kind of keep people on their toes. Now, the new season begins filming in April. So we're going to be finding out soon, I guess. Last piece of Beverly Hills news. Sutton explains that the reason that she was sent to the hospital on the reunion. So if you didn't watch, sorry. I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler because it was in the preview. But, you know, we saw that she did, after being checked out by the show medics, she ended up going to the hospital, I guess, maybe just like to be safe. And she said it was because she was suffering with exhaustion, dehydration, and a severe case of bronchitis. She said Andy Cohen called the medics right away and Garcelle went with her to the hospital. I mean, listen, a lot of people are debating, is it because of Kathy Hilton? I don't know. I don't know if I don't believe that fully. I mean, I think that maybe like wore on her nerves a bit, but it's just the way she was eating that banana. I think she needed some food. And again, I've said this on my Patreon, but I got to say it here too. I'm not saying she's anorexic or something like that. I think maybe she just had a long day and didn't eat enough, which that can make you shaky and, you know, can make you faint. It just can. So I don't know. We will see. Okay. So in Real Housewives of Atlanta news, we have Simon Gobadia, who is Portia's estranged husband. They're separated, whatever. She's filed for divorce. They're not officially divorced or anything yet, but he's already been seen with a new woman on social media. I mean, kind of the same thing he did to Fallon. Just saying. I mean, everyone was so quick, like, because Fallon, like, found a new guy quickly and then was pregnant and was happy, like, people were really quick to kind of write off what Portia did or make excuses for it. Like, oh, see, it was, you know, whatever. Like, no, two things can be true. There could have been some overlap. And, you know, Fallon could have sensed that Simon was moving away and from her, and she could have been hurt, you know, by him pursuing Portia and then, you know, went back with that other guy. Like, I don't know the exact timeline. I'd have to go back. It's been so long since I've, you know, dove into that story. But there was a little bit of like controversy or arguing back and forth about what the timeline was and who was guilty and who wasn't. At the end of the day, I think Portia went for a guy who she knew was married. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, though. That being said, I still want her on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I want to see what's going on. Simon also posted on his Instagram, and he's like, if you are behind Portia filing for divorce, please step up and own her mental state of mind. Hashtag dumb shit. Hashtag didn't arrive there on her own accord. Okay. So yeah, it seems like Fallon was right about this guy. Like, he seems like, what is that? Like, I guess he thinks a woman cannot make her own decision to like leave somebody. Like, I wonder if he's, I don't know. I wonder why she's so suddenly, like, it just seemed so sudden. I mean, again, it only seemed sudden, so we don't know what was going on, but yeah, it's the whole situation's, there's something up. Like, there's, I just feel like there's puzzle pieces missing that we need. And I'm really hope we get them on the new Atlanta season. I really do. Cause Portia is one who does like to curate her storylines, and she can be a little Kyle-ish sometimes when it comes to like fully sharing things. She likes to do things on her timeline and with her own filter. So we'll see. She also, Portia did post, though, a social media story of herself on a dinner date. I guess you can call it a date with a couple, and she was on her own. So in the video, she shows the couple kissing for a second and then goes back to herself rolling her eyes. But she deleted it shortly after. So it's like, okay, are you saying you're not enjoying being single? And then you didn't want it to people to think it means you want Simon back, so you deleted it. I don't know. Okay, let's go into John Fuda versus Teddy. There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. So Teddy said that, I guess, after the New Jersey trailer dropped, which dropped last week, that John Fuda, who's Rachel Fuda's husband, also known as the new thirstiest man in Bravo, that he asked Teddy Mellencamp if he could come on the Two Teas in a Pod podcast. Listen, am I a Teddy Mellencamp fan and do I believe everything she says? No, but this is such a weird, random lie to make up. I'm sorry, but I believe her. And if there's one thing that I have learned from watching New Jersey and watching the way John Fuda operates on social media and the kind of things that he says at the reunion and stuff like that, this man is thirsty. He is so, like, the second he saw himself on TV, he loved it. He brought all that heat at the reunion. And he's like, all his digs at Teresa, if you listen, they all revolve around fame. Like, he's got this, like, thing about fame. And he keeps wanting to try and talk about her being washed up and her. And a lot of people like don't stop to analyze it or think about it because they just like hate Teresa. So they're like, yeah, somebody's insulting Teresa. But if you stop and just forget about that, he's got this like obsession with it. And then his first season's over, he's like, he's lost all this weight, which fine, good for him. I feel like he lost it all. It seems like very quickly. I don't know if he's on the Ozempic train or what. He got a chin implant. Like, he looks totally different. I don't know. Just, he comes off as like, I think he is really into this TV show thing. Okay. So I do think that he reached out. I do believe it. If there's a lot of other people who I might question a little more, but him, yes. Then not only did he deny it, but he had to post it on an Instagram story. And he's like, this is not true, where basically saying not true. You know, where did this rumor come from? And then he tags Teddy Mellencamp, tags Tamara Judge, and then also tags Two Teas in a Pod. And he's like, care to help me out here? Like, about, I guess, where the rumor came from. So I guess he's calling Teddy a liar. I don't know if that's going to end well. I wonder if he asked in a text. Because then she could just post that receipt and I would love that. Okay, so our last piece of news for today is in relation... Oh, sorry, we have two things. My apologies. Second last. Orange County. So there was a little update from Vicky about the whole Tres Amigas thing. And it's basically that Tamara didn't want to keep doing the show because it would seem like they were in, like, the Tres Amigas show on the road. Because it would seem like they were encouraging drinking. But Vicky was saying they could change, you know, the lyrics to some of their songs and make it less about drinking, because I guess they had, like, you know, Pour Tequila on Me or something like that. You know, and Vicky said she also wanted to keep it going because it's important to keep your commitments, and they'd already committed to the show, their friends and all that, and to not let, you know, the group down and the people, the fans and all that. And, you know, Tamara didn't care. She just felt like it was too soon after the DUI. So, you know, Vicky does confirm in this red carpet interview that she understands kind of Tamara's perspective, but also make sure to say she does not condone drinking and driving, and that, you know, at the end of the day, though, Shannon made a mistake and they do need to move forward from it. And, you know, they were, again, willing to make some changes to the show, so it wasn't so much focused on drinking. Okay? So that's her side of it. So I guess we're going to kind of see where they're at more when the season comes out. Now, one thing that I will say is that there was a picture that just came out that was floating around, and it's of Heather, Tamara, and Alexis Bellino, and they're filming. And the three of them are walking together. So it kind of seems like they might be one team. And then, you know, like Vicky and Shannon and, you know, we'll see what sides other people take kind of thing. So I'll be interested to see that. I think this new season's going to be good. And Alexis Bellino was also interviewed on a red carpet with her man, John Jansen, who... him and John Fuda can maybe something about people named John, another thirsty, you know, husband, boyfriend, whatever. And they say an engagement is possibly in the works for Alexis and John. Oh, God. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to see. I guarantee you, though, if he proposes, he'll be saving it for the show. I guarantee it, because that man, he's another thirsty one. All right. Let's talk about this is the actual last story, which is in relation to Summer House. So Lindsay was on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy asked her about the engagement ring, and she said that Carl, quote unquote, demanded it back. Well, I mean, I get that, because I don't get the impression that Carl is capable of working. I don't know. Like, he is capable. I just feel like he's always had issues with jobs. Like, I think a lot of us blamed his addiction for that, you know, like, okay, well, it's because he was always using, he was always drunk, he was this, and that had something to do with it. But it seems like he's still struggling with that a little, even now that he's sober. And we're kind of seeing that on the most recent season. And I mean, that is the hard part about sobriety, right? Is like, you get sober and you think it's going to solve all your problems, but your problems are still there. You just can't run from them now with alcohol. You might try to run from them in other ways. You know, some people shift to a different addiction, but a lot of people, they have to actually face those problems, you know, get help, which I guess maybe that was what he was trying to do with the career coach. But I think it's going to need, you know, and I'm assuming, and again, I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming Carl has a therapist or whatever, but it seems like he's got some, I don't know, fear or procrastination when it comes, you know, revolving around job and career stuff. Like maybe it's a lack of self-esteem. Like maybe he doesn't really believe he can be successful, or maybe he's so afraid to fail that he would rather just not do it, because then he can live in like the fantasy land of like, well, I could if I just tried. A lot of people have that problem. Like, it's pretty common. Anyways, I got way off track. But what I was trying to say is that according to Lindsay, he demanded the ring back. And she said that she gave it to him. It's New York law. You know, she said there's law, but there's also etiquette. And basically, so that was her way of saying, like, you know, if he had any etiquette, he would have let her keep it. But I mean, if I was Lindsay, I would give it back. Do I think Lindsay would have kept it? She kind of implied she did with the etiquette thing. I do think she would have given it back, though, from a PR standpoint, because Lindsay does think about PR stuff, and I think she knows it might not look good. I don't know. I could be wrong, though. I don't know. Maybe she would have just kept it. You never know with Lindsay Hubbard. So anyway, she said in New York, there's a it's considered a contingency gift in New York, which means that it's a gift contingent upon, you know, like a wedding and a marriage happening. And if it doesn't happen, then you must return it, which, you know, I do think that's pretty fair for the most part. Okay, everyone. So I hope you enjoyed, and I will, well, I guess not see you, but talk to you again soon for the Vanderpump Rules after show recap. Until then, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time. Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/bravoandbotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/bravoandbotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.